On the 13th of February 2017, Mark and I go to Brisbane to meet with a law firm putting together a large class action against the New South Wales government. Our solicitor thinks I may have a case based on trauma, the trauma I had suffered and continue to suffer, but not one based on being wrongfully taken away, because the law does not recognise the concept of wrongfully taken in my case. Mark and I are appalled by this. It seems you can only have a case if you've been sexually assaulted, abused, suffered severe trauma, or were wrongfully placed, not wrongfully removed. And the statute of limitations, which limits claims to within 3 years of the event, can invalidate a claim. How would anyone in my mother and father's position even know about this statute of limitations, I say to Mark. More to the point, it would have never occurred to my mum and dad to pursue legal action. They were just glad that all their children were home safe and sound. And even if they had won a case based on their children's trauma, that wouldn't address the accusations of them being unfit and neglectful parents. But without any other option, we proceed with a case based on trauma. You have 10 sessions with a counsellor to assess whether you're traumatised by the system or the systematic failure of that system, the lawyer told me. We will then determine if we can go ahead. I have my doubts that 10 one-hour sessions will enable a complete stranger to even begin to understand the trauma that has accumulated for 40 long years. But I agree, because what else can I do? My life is like entering the house of a hoarder, trying to find something lost inside, I tell Mark later. You make your way through that house trying to find it. But there are all these cupboards that you've got to go through, drawers to dig into, beds to look under. It takes time to find it. Sometimes it's not the right time to look for it. Sometimes it's just too hard to find, too painful. So you have to rest, time out, and then start again later on. But the hardest part is getting into the house at all. Everything is piled on top of everything else. And just opening up is an effort. Still, we have some hope in our hearts that this time there will be some justice. I'm still upset that my siblings and I are not classified as stolen generations, Mark tells me to write my feelings down. So I do. On the 18th of April 2017, I write to the New South Wales Indigenous Affairs Minister, Sarah Mitchell, asking her to hear my story in hopes that she can assist with their application for the Stolen Generations Reparations Scheme. The amount of compensation available is a one-off payment of $75,000 for survivors only. Parents are not entitled to the compensation. The compensation is for harm that is the removal caused, not for the wrongful removal itself. And my parents would still be classified as neglectful. I share a little of my story and ask for a face-to-face meeting to talk about the Stolen Generations Reparations Scheme and how being left out of that scheme because we were taken after 1969 leaves my siblings and I feeling that we don't matter, that our feelings don't matter, that our lives don't matter, and to be included in the Stolen Generations. I'm hoping you would have compassion and hear my story and make an exemption for my family and I in this matter, please. Looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you, Brenda Matthews. We receive an automatic reply to say that the office received my email. And that is the only response we receive. So I do the 10 sessions. And the psychiatrist tells me that mine is one of the worst cases of trauma she has ever been involved with. And on the 5th of May 2017, we receive a letter from a lawyer in relation to our case. It states that because I did not suffer mistreatment while I was in the care of my foster family, and because my mother told me when I was a teenage girl that I was taken, and because other personal factors had contributed to my trauma, they could not pursue my claim.